Great Kahan, Michael Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom. Praise Yahweh. Please be seated. Wow. It's a blessing to be here on the Sabbath day. I'm looking at the most loved people on the face of the earth. What a blessing. At the same time, though, you know you're also the most hated of all people. Right? Praise Yahweh. And then on top of all that, you're the most feared people of all. Of all creation, Satan fears you. Now, why is that? Because Yahweh's people are coming as one. Coming as one. Remember, Yahweh's unity. Yahweh's unity. Open up to Matithias 7. Yahweh is unity. And Satan will do anything she possibly can to try and divide us. But remember, the scripture says that they without us will not be made perfect. They without us. That means those, everyone who has ever lived on this earth. How many trillions of people that is? We don't know. But everyone who has ever lived on earth, as well as all those throughout the universe, depending upon us coming to perfection. I've entitled this, I Must Do Unto Others. And for that word I, you can put your own name there. I Must Do Unto Others. You know, Yahshua's memorial was just celebrated. And every year we read about it. And in Yochanan 13, 15, Yahshua said, I've given you an example. I've given you an example so that you would do this to others. I have given you an example that you do as I have done for others. And Yahshua laid down his life. That's what he did. He laid his life down for others. He didn't make any excuses. He just served. He served people. And when his disciples learned that lesson of what he was talking about, they began to serve. And that's the key. The key is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because remember, Yahweh, Yahshua taught, he said, all the laws hang on two commandments. Love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, and might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? And Pastor knows this, and he practices it. And he's found the true peace of Yahweh. And this is not to point out fault to anyone. It's just to share what I've learned to give you true peace, really, as taught by Yahweh's laws. See in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Matthew 7, verse 1. He says, do not sit in condemnation so that you too will not be condemned. And the King James says, don't judge. It says, do not judge so you will not be judged. Verse 2, for what judgment you... Put your name there. Well, with judgment, Michael, you judge. Michael, you will be judged and with the same standard, Michael, that you use. That same standard is going to be used against you, Michael. Now, that word judge, what I want to concentrate on is the word judge there or condemnation, okay? It means to separate or to prefer. It's number 2919, and it means to prefer or to do things your way, really is what it's talking about, okay? That's what we want to concentrate on. It means to be of opinion and to pronounce an opinion concerning right or wrong about others. I mean, we make judgments every day. You make decisions every day. But what we want to concentrate on is about having an opinion about others. Because remember, we're warned that a righteous man, a wise man, will keep his opinions to himself. To pronounce an opinion... Well, I think, that's your own opinion. I think. You may as well stop right there because you done thought enough. Let Yahweh guide our thinking, okay? Now, but we got to be careful. We got to be careful that we don't look on how we look at things, that we don't form opinions about people and so forth, okay? Because that can lead to falsely condemning someone. And what does it do when you form an opinion? It breaks unity. It breaks the unity. It breaks it. And Satan has a foot in the door when you do that. Verse 3. Now, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes if you don't take notice of the beam that's in your own eye? You know, if you're not willing to examine your own self and love your brother or your sister as yourself, what gives you the right to be opinionated about someone else? What they're doing or how they act, so forth. See the word standard there? The word standard in verse 2, what judgment you meet, the same standard. That word standard, that's really law. Okay, because the law states that what you intend to do to others, that will be what your own judgment will be based upon. Now, I'm not saying accept sin, but what I'm saying is don't be quick to snap back at others and assume that they're in the wrong and form an opinion about people. You know, we're judged on our thoughts and on our actions and what they lead to. And everybody has a bad day, right? People have bad days, okay? But that's, you know, that when you see someone like that, that is not their true character. And that's what should first come into your mind. That is not that person's true character. Something's bothering them, and he's having a rough time. So what are you going to do? Raise your voice? Because he raised your voice? Or are you going to remain humble and say, hey, he's being tested, and what can I do to help him? Okay? That's what we need to do, because judging, I'm not talking about when, you know, some people will say, well, you know, you're judging me or you're condemning me. No, judging and condemning is not the same, and we're not talking about condemning someone to death. There's certain laws that refer to that. But what we're talking about is judging and the fact in which if you judge when you make decisions about others and so forth, it needs to be to help them overcome. And what do we forget to do? We forget to say, thank you for pointing it out to me. But in a sincere and a polite way. Night. Thanks. Thanks for pointing that out to me. You know, what kind of attitude is that, right? Open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11. But, you know, think about it now. Even if you say something and someone comes back at you and you feel like they're coming against you, don't start an argument. Don't start an argument. Why not suffer wrong? That's what the scripture says. Why not suffer wrong for what you perceive to be when you're right? Even if you are or you aren't, it doesn't matter. Just humble ourselves. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Practice peace. That's the thing that we need. We got to get rid of this I, me, me, me attitude. Okay? Because it's not what you can do for me. It's what can I do for you. That's what we got to think about. That is what we need to think about. Love your neighbor as yourself. And blessed are the peacemakers. Or some like to say blessed are the cheesemakers, right? But 1 Corinthians, of course, they're blessed because they make it for Yahweh's house, right? 1 Corinthians 11 here, in verse 31, he says, 1 Corinthians 11, 31 says, for if we would examine ourselves, and that's what we're talking about, examine ourselves. Isn't that what Yeshua's memorial was about? If we would examine ourselves with repentance, we would not come under judgment or condemnation. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened or disciplined by Yahweh. By Yahweh. You see that? By Yahweh. I am Yahweh to you. You are Yahweh to me. If you bring something to my attention that I've done, then I need to humble myself and say thanks. I'll work on that. Right? Boy, everybody sure is quiet, huh? I'm only bringing this out because it's important. It brings peace in our lives. But notice it says that we may not be condemned with the world. You know why? Because the world doesn't have that love. The world could care less how you act. You know, because they're going to do whatever they want. But sometimes we just have to step back and look at ourselves and examine ourselves, as the scripture says. And remember, it says, Yeshua said, be faithful in the little things, you'd be faithful in much. You know, the law is much, much greater detail than what we perceive at times. You know, it's much deeper. It's like the law, don't muzzle the ox. Was Yahweh only talking about the animal? Think about it. That's how Yahweh's law is. It deals with certain issues that sometimes we just don't think. We just don't think. We're quick to react back, thinking that someone is coming against us. Or sometimes we're afraid to point something out to somebody. But true love is correcting someone, right? If they need to be corrected. And true love is accepting that correction. We all need it. None of us are exempt. And we learn, each and every one of us learns from one another. Always. Open to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. You know, the law is powerless in a person's life unless they practice it. The law is powerless in a person's life unless they practice it. You've got to practice the law. And we've got to remember what it says about love your neighbor as yourself. Brethren, we're waiting for the kingdom to come. What's holding it back? We are. We are the ones. It's not the world. It's us. So what can we do to bring forth the kingdom? Learn to become like Yahweh. And you know, we'll get into that, but Romans chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, you are without a defense. You are without a defense. In fact, King James Version says it's inexcusable. There's no excuse. Oh man, whoever you are that judges or that gives that opinion to separate someone from the love of Yahweh. Someone wants to take the peace away from someone. In other words, judging, but not judging righteously, as Yeshua says, okay? Be judging negatively. All it causes is discord. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice such things. So he's trying to get us to think here. Like I say, when you raise your voice, because someone else raises their voice, does that justify your actions? You know, you can talk yourself into it, right? But what you do is you judge the matter and you make the wrong choice. You make the wrong choice when you do that. Because all it's going to do is escalate some things, right? Instead of somebody just humbling themselves. It takes two people to argue. Somebody ain't going to walk around. They may be grumbling to themselves, but they look like an idiot, you know? So let them look like an idiot, and you just remain humble and try and bring them down to the level where they're supposed to be. That's love. You don't let someone walk off and be upset. No, you try and make peace with them and give them the peace that Yahweh wants us to have. That's loving your neighbor as yourself. Because everybody knows that when you get in that kind of mood, you don't feel great, do you? You're miserable. Verse 2, but we know assuredly that the judgment of Yahweh is according to truth. His laws of loving Yahweh as himself, because every man and woman and child is made in the image and likeness of Yahweh. Maybe we ought to think of that, huh? You're looking at the image of Yahweh there. If we thought about that, we would react differently against those who practice such things. So we got to be honest. We got to be truthful and honest with ourselves, because we got to examine ourselves and not to practice these things. You know, if we interpret anything and we start thinking wrongly about someone, all that does is separate us. You got to nip it in the bud, like Pastor said. Think about a bud, okay? On a tree, a fruit comes forth from a flower. Where does that flower come from? A bud. So if you take your fingernail and you nip that bud off and you scratch it off of there, there won't be any fruit. It's the same with arguments. It's the same with negative thoughts. And I'm going to tell you why I'm talking about this in a little bit. Because if you nip it in the bud, you get rid of it right away and you examine yourself. You ever talk to yourself? That was a stupid thing to do. What did you do that for? Why did I react that way? Well, that's practicing the peaceful solution, isn't it? You got to talk to yourself, you know? You talk to yourself in your mind, you examine yourself and think how stupid that was. But see, if we stop and think beforehand, then we won't have to do so much scolding of ourselves. But at the same time, we've got to think. We've got to examine ourselves continuously. And it hurts, doesn't it? It hurts to think about the truth. It hurts to think like, now, you know, come to think of it, I didn't handle that right. I need to go back and apologize to that person. But what's going to hurt more in the long run? Not being in the kingdom? Or maybe having to humble yourself, even to the point of embarrassment, so that you can humble yourself and make it right? You know, Pastor's got up here before, and as he said, he embarrassed himself, bringing forth the truth to us so that we can know it. He wants us in the kingdom, brethren. And these things are holding us back. Verse 3, he says, so do you have the thought, you know, had those kinds of thoughts popped into your head? O man who judges or gives the opinion that separates someone from the love of the body of the Messiah. You know, those who do such things, then practice is the same. They're not going to escape the judgment of Yahweh. I mean, think about it. If you're thinking negative of someone, how are you going to escape the judgment of Yahweh? Verse 4. Or do you despise, do you disdain, do you think little of the riches of his kindness? Yahweh's kindness, his forbearance, his long-suffering. This is what Yahweh offers to replace those thoughts that go against peace. And that's what occurs, is it goes against peace. And realizing that Yahweh's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. You know, if we've done that, we can repent. We can try our best not to do it again and try and always keep it in mind. But remember, once we've heard something, we're judged on it. Once we've heard, we're judged. And Yeshua is speaking to the Pharisees. Remember, he says, hey, you know, you guys, you tithe off of the smallest minute things like mint and the rue and coriander seeds and so forth. But you've forgotten the weightier matters of the justice of Yahweh's law. He says, these are the things you should remember and not leave it undone, as well as the other things. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. You know, we've got to be honest with ourselves. Are we a bunch of know-it-alls? Are we too proud to be taught? Can we not humble ourselves and be willing to learn from others? Everybody's got something to teach us, you know? And if we do that, then we can humble ourselves. We can have the peace that Yahweh wants us to have. Because correction, when somebody brings something to our attention, it's that's the love of Yahweh. And many times, how different would you act if Yeshua was standing in front of you? You'd act pretty different, wouldn't you? I want you right now, stop and take a look at the person next to you. Just stop and take a look at the person, left or right, it doesn't matter. You know who you're looking at? Yahweh. Yahweh. Keep that in your mind when you think about these things. What can you do? How can you think this? You know, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, he says, demolishing arguments and destroying everything that exalts itself against the one who is Yahweh. The one you just looked at. Demolish the arguments. Bring into subjection, notice, bringing under control, putting into practice the self-control, all the things that Pastor has taught us. Every thought into the obedience as the Messiah. Yeshua said, be faithful in little things, but be faithful in much. Brethren, Yahweh's not going to overlook these things. You know, he's going to work with us in whatever way we want him to and how we humble ourselves. Let Yahweh be our guide. Let Yahweh guide our thoughts. Let him be the one who's leading us. Not thinking on our own if our thoughts are going to go towards a negative way in looking at people. Our enemy is Satan the devil. It's not our brothers and sisters. Okay? It's not our brothers and sisters. Look over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 13. Matthew 9, verse 13. Matthew 9, verse 13. Because our brother and our sister is being made into the image and likeness of Yahweh, just as we are. And we have to think of our brothers and sisters as being, you know, being Yahweh before our eyes, so our mouth won't say things negative about someone or think negative thoughts about someone. Matthew 9, verse 13. But go and learn what this means, which shows that some people didn't know what it meant. And if we don't, then we need to learn to practice mercy. That I, Yahweh, desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Yeah, you know, slaughtering an animal didn't do anything. That's not what took away someone's sins. A repentant heart is what made it acceptable before Yahweh. And Yeshua wants us to understand what his teachings are. And that's why the Messiah came in these last days. Israel Hawkins has come. And he does the same thing. He's being led and guided by Yeshua Messiah, the high priest. You remember Yeshua's disciples asked him, he says, Yeshua, I mean, look, like, how many times I got to forgive this guy? Oh, let's see now. How about 70 times 7? Get my calculator out here. You know? Let's see, that's one time, that's two times. You'd be busy all day long, wouldn't you? 70 times 7. Oh, well, I forgive him. But he better not do it again. That's the attitude sometimes. You know? But that's the wrong attitude. But Yeshua said, why do you think Yeshua said, pray for those who spitefully use you? And think of that word, pray. Pray means to answer a petition, which means serve that person. The ones that you think come against you the hardest, turn around and serve them. That's how you'll have peace. And you'll make peace with others. Because it is possible, brother, not to have an enemy. An enemy to you is only someone who you have not made peace with. And there shouldn't be any of that in the house of Yahweh, right? Because who is your mother? Who is your brother? Who is your sister? Yeshua said. Proverbs 10:19, write that down. Proverbs 10:19, it says, in the multitude of careless words, sin is not lacking, but he who controls his tongue is wise. Proverbs 10:19. You know, the truth is that sometimes we just don't want to control that tongue. We just want to say what's on our minds. To speak what's on your mind, right? But keep in mind about the bad day. Keep in mind about the bad day, because tomorrow could be your bad day. And you're going to want that brother or sister to treat you the same way that you want them to treat you. Right? You want to be treated the same way. So remember, treat others with kindness. Treat them with love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Judge not according to appearance, as he says in Yochanan 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's a lot there about that word appearance, okay? Judge not according to appearance. In other words, don't make your decisions just according to appearance, because maybe you thought you heard someone say something, but you didn't hear the whole conversation. And you passed judgment in your mind. Maybe you saw something. Well, I saw it with my own two eyes. But did you see the whole thing? And maybe you passed judgment on it. Yeshua said, we need eyes to see and ears to hear in order to perceive, to make proper judgments. So don't go off half-cocked just because you think you know something about some situation. Make sure you know the facts, as the scripture says. And here's the key. Yeshua said in Yochanan 5:30, he says, I will do nothing of myself, he says, because I didn't come to do my will. I came to do my Father's will. And that's what we need to do. We need to do Yahweh's will. Not our own, but our Father's will. Open up to Romans 14. Romans 14. And that's why I chose the title, I Must Do Unto Others. Romans 14, verse 12. Romans 14, verse 12. Romans 14, verse 12. So then, each one of us will give an accounting of himself to Yahweh. Each and every one of us is going to give an accounting of ourselves to Yahweh. We're not going to stand on that sea of glass and say, yeah, but Yahweh, but... No, as soon as we say the word but, that's going to be it. Okay, I'm not going to say any more, but that's going to be it. Mm-hmm. Verse 13, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Because all that does is separate us from the peace and the love of Yahweh. Does it not? It separates us. And that's what Satan wants. She wants that contention to be among the people. Instead, set your mind not to put any stumbling block or an occasion of falling in our brother's way. Now, this goes back to that word appearance again, because you ever hear someone say, oh, watch out for so-and-so, because they're in a bad mood, okay? They're in bad days, okay? But I want you to think about something. Do you know what's going on in that person's mind? Do you know what that person is being tested with? Can you judge a person's inner self? Or maybe you see what appears to be a mean look on someone's face, okay? And you think, oh, that person's mad at me. He's upset with me. Must be upset with me. Must be mad at me. You know, when that's done, you judge without taking into account the person's character, because you don't know what they're being tested with. You don't know what they're going through. Instead, rather than condemn them, now I'll tell you something too about a picture, okay? My picture, the best photograph of it is to take it and turn it upside down and turn it around, okay? That way you don't have to look at it. But sometimes people will say, you know, boy, you got to look at that face, man. You must be upset, okay? Yeah, and I know you heard people say that before about people. But Yeshua, he used Christ's example. Again, think of a person's character. You know that person's trying to overcome. You know they're trying to be made, or they wouldn't be here at Yahweh's house. Plain and simple. You wouldn't be here. So you're here to strive to overcome. And Yeshua said, you know, he set the example to pity that person. Pity them, because you may be tested next, okay? And show them mercy. Try and understand what that person's going through. Try and understand what they're going through. And then last, see what you can do to help that person. Help them get out of that stump. You know, if you start practicing that, then you'll have true peace, because that's what true love, your neighbor as yourself, means. What you want them to do to you, do the same. That was Yeshua's teachings. Remember, he said, go and learn. You know, Yeshua was perfect. I mean, he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet he made the right choice not to sin. Go and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Why? Well, because sacrifice, if somebody had evil in their heart, they'd go and do the same sin and repeat it over and over and over and over again and just think, all I got to do is just bring a sacrifice and I'm all right. But the one who had the repentant heart, the one who went and begged Yahweh for forgiveness and mercy so that he could show that forth to others, that's the one that was found acceptable to Yahweh. That sacrifice was a sweet-smelling aroma in Yahweh's nostrils, it says. And that's the way it's got to be with us. We've got to think about these things continuously. In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, let nothing be done in the way of strife or empty glory, but let us esteem others better than ourselves. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let's esteem others, okay? Esteem others better than ourselves. Forgive. Remember Yeshua said, forgive them for they know not what they do. We don't know why people react sometimes. We need to do the same if we want to be in the kingdom, if we want to be like Yahweh. Yahweh has mercy on us. Yosef, when he was in Egypt, he set an example. He forgave his brothers long before they ever came to him and begged and cried to him and asked for his forgiveness. He forgave them. Yeshua said, forgive. Remember, he taught his disciples. He said in Matthew 6, he said, when you pray, forgive us of our debts and of our debtors. You remember what that word debts and debtors means? It means one guilty of neglect or duty in service to others. Forgive me for not serving that person, Yahweh. As I forgive that person for maybe not have serving me when I needed something. Or did you hold a grudge against the person? I just want to leave you with this one thing. I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up. Esteem others better than yourself. If we did, we would not have time to judge improperly. We would never overstep our bounds and think evil of them. Instead, we would seek to help them overcome with all our heart, soul, and might, just as we are commanded to do. If we would be an example to others and give ourselves completely to achieving this goal, then our progress will be evident to all. I just want to throw something in. You think, you know what causes problems? It's when people have problems with one another, what occurs? They stop talking to one another, right? And then they'll start talking about one another behind their backs. And that is two of the most miserable people on the face of this earth when that occurs. I lost my place. Okay. Okay, we'd be an example to others and give ourselves completely to achieving this goal. Then our progress would be evident to all, and there would be no divisions within the body, but love and joy and peace among us all. And remember, owe no man anything but love. We're being judged according to our work, our deeds, and the labor of our actions, acting upon what we know. And we must all work out our own salvation so that the body of Messiah and the seed of Israel, let's all put very hard work into overcoming so that we can be found perfect and see Yahweh's kingdom come soon. May Yahweh bless you, brother. Everybody, please stand. Now I'll turn the service over to the great Kahan Safanya.
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We're going to start. We have three news stories, again, fulfilling prophecy and showing the prophecies being fulfilled and showing the house of Yahweh is exactly right in what we're teaching. But the first one is on the economy and how the unemployment rate just went up a little bit. And so they're showing that the economy is faltering, which, of course, it's been doing for decades now, really. But it's what you need to understand these unemployment figures is you have to understand that the economy needs to add about 150,000 jobs a month just to keep up with normal population growth. And this is that statement is from the July 8th, 2011 edition of the New York Times, and the title is Job Growth Falters Badly, Clouding Hope for Recovery. So if you need any proof for that, that just gives you a little bit of understanding. But just keep that in mind whenever you see that they added jobs, that you have to get 150,000 jobs a month just to keep up with normal population growth. So if you add 100,000 jobs in a month, you've actually lost jobs because the population has grown to that point. Then the next one is on the cannibal attack, which is, we had to cut a lot of stuff out of this, but it just shows you how people are becoming completely insane, and that this is not that unusual. The one man in it at the end says, the police officer, he says that they've had three or four cases in Miami alone of this type of a situation, and that's just one city. So this is going on by the hundreds and probably by the thousands in the United States, but this one made the news because it was caught on video. And then we have a story about how sugar is the new tobacco. And this is from the woman who is the medical expert, I think, for NBC News, Nancy Schneiderman. And she's talking about how scientists say that sugar is addicting, which is, this is really a propaganda piece. They want to tax sugar, and they want to attack it because, remember what sugar does, it's necessary for self-control. And she's going to use a phrase in here that is a real common propaganda phrase, and it's scientists say. So all they have to do is they say, scientists say, and that makes it true, and that makes it scientific. But this goes toward Isaiah 65:5, which is like saying, stand back, I am holier than you. This is just, we're right because we're scientists. And you're going to see, she's going to really promote this, and they're going to subtly keep pushing this, and they're going to end up taxing sugar when sugar is not the cause of the problem. What the problem is in most cases, what's causing these diseases is STDs, and she never mentions that. This woman never mentions this, and she is certified by the American Board of Otolaryngology and Head and Neck Surgery, and she specializes in head and neck cancer. And this is one of the areas where they really know that STDs are causing these problems. This woman never mentions these things. So it just shows you where she's coming from. So let's play the video. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Hello, everyone!
We're praising you, Yahweh! What a wonderful crowd. Go on. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I said a mouthful there. You may not understand it, but we're going to be looking forward to that peace. And of course, as Michael pointed out what it is, the great Kohan Michael Sheets Hawkins, how to achieve it started with a work that Daniel gave the time of its start. And of course, it didn't just start with two witnesses. It was a work that was brought up, if you could keep those words in mind, and we'll start seeing clues of it and understanding what he meant there. I'm holding a picture here of a theater. It was called the Canadian Theater when I was a child. And on this side was where you go to get your hot dogs and your popcorn before you entered the theater on this side. And it's still standing in Purcell, Oklahoma. That hadn't been too many years ago, but now it's an antique mall. T's Antique Mall. Inside that mall, of course, is probably things from my mother and dad. That's the antiques they're talking about. And here's the viaduct in Chickasha, Oklahoma, the great overpass that Dad and Mother crossed with a wagon and a team of mules. There's something going across that viaduct there. Looks like it says Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Well, of course, those are my children. And if you think of it, this is part of the work that Yahweh started bringing up, and Daniel gives the date that he started it, and I'll prove it to you. Here's part of my children. Someone asked, standing under this great overpass that my dad and mother went over in that covered wagon, someone asked me, were we training evangelists? And I said, no, we're training people to be teachers of evangelism. This is the start of it. And of course, these teachers are going to be going out and teaching judges and kings. He says, I'll take you before the kings and the queens. That is a pretty large viaduct that was built, by the way, the first one without gasoline engines or diesel engines. It was built with horses and mules and wagons. All the dirt was moved back then in the same way, and that was in my lifetime. They didn't build it in my lifetime, but my dad and mother crossed it, and I think they've redone it. Had to replace some posts and things, but yes, this work that Yahweh is bringing up. That's the work, of course, that the heavens are waiting to see it completed. You saw some pretty horrible things here. Number one, the economy, that it looks pretty bleak. Don't worry about it. We're not going to need it. Praise Yahweh. Now, you've got to keep two things in mind. Yahweh is bringing up a work, of course. And in this time period, in the latter days, he gives, it started much earlier than that, as Daniel showed. And then in the latter days, Yahweh said, knowledge would increase. Well, of course, that antique mall that I showed you there, where we used to go to get to see a movie, I remember seeing a movie. The only movie I think I remember seeing was the Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and those cowboy Indian cowboy crooks and so forth. The good guys supposedly wearing white hats, and the others wearing black hats. I don't know what they're trying to symbolize there, but they did a great job of it. We see the Eurozone failure. Now, keep in mind that if this does go down, if the Eurozone doesn't come up with a comprehensive vision of its own future, you'll have a whole range of nationalist, neophobic, and extreme movements increasing across the European Union. We're going to see this, and they're expecting it here in the United States too, not because of the euro, but that could bring forth, that the euro falling could bring forth some real havoc to add to the bad economy here, which Yahweh shows is going to be really strong still, because, you know, 50 million people out of work, and that's just a drop in the bucket to the people we have that are working and the industry that we have going. And of course, the nuclear bombs is what is to destroy that. The sugar, they've tried to destroy sugar and salt. There's even one article that someone told me about this morning that was talking about this man that was trying to eat another person. Now, that's not the first case. The police are dealing with this now quite frequently. And but anyway, this article said it was caused by eating salts. And they do something to the salt, and then they sniff it, and it turns them into a dog or a lion or something. I think it got started before that, the turning them into dogs and lions, and I believe it started with test tubes, and then it's spreading to other things now. But sugar, they've had against sugar and salt, two of the healthiest foods that your body needs. Your body actually needs these. They must have them. And don't let them turn you against the salt or the sugars. I'm talking about sugar from sugar cane, because that's the one that the scripture mentions, the one that Yahweh uses. This article was put out by Dr. Williams, who's got the book out, Modern Medical Lies, and he shows a lot of things that are being taught that it's taught to make money, of course. And I'll show you that in a moment, but he said, don't want dentures? Learn how to rebuild aging teeth and regrow your teeth enamel. Avoid sweets, brush often, and see a dentist every 6 months to chip away dangerous dental plaque, right or wrong? He says wrong. Follow that advice and you'd better start saving up for bridge work. In fact, the most reliable research reveals cavities are not caused by sugar. this book, The Medical Lies, that's one of the things it covers. In fact, any chemist will tell you that tooth decay is caused by acid. This is what actually eats your enamel. And one of America's most honored chemists, Gerald Judd, Ph.D., has shown that acid formed by bacteria are the least of your problems. He showed me 52 years of research demonstrating that tooth decay is primarily caused by acids in our foods and beverages, diet soda. Diet soda, not sugar, not sugar tea, but diet soda is the greatest culprit. He says, brushing does next to nothing. This makes me think of something I read years ago that was put out by Dr. Rodell, who also wrote Prevention Magazine. And he said, he was talking about the evangelists. These were Christian evangelists. They're not, they weren't our evangelists, but Christian evangelists that went to Africa to teach the Africans the use of the toothbrush and, of course, the dental creams. And they got there and they were met with men and women with big healthy bones, and when they smiled, their teeth shone pretty and white. He said it was almost a joke that they were going to teach them to use the toothbrush. They said there was a little bit of yellow from food stains, but that was all. No decays, no cavities. He says brushing does next to nothing. By the time your brush, food acids have already destroyed sufficient enamel. Worst, most toothpaste contains glycerin, as spelled G-L-Y-C-E-R-I-N, which coats the acid and traps them next to your teeth. Much more effective, simply rinse your mouth with, get this, write it down, water, milk, or whey. Water, milk, or whey every time you eat. Scraping plaque with dental probes makes gums rot worse, Dr. Judd said. He's found that those tools create tiny holes where acids can pool from new cavities and trigger more gum inflammation. I'll read the next more of this next week because I want you to keep your mind on this sugar. Because if you look over at 1 Timothy 6:10, you'll find the answer there to what we're dealing with today. And not that the sugar was not causing problems. I had a picture, and I hope you'll make me another one, but someone sent me if you remember me telling you about the syrup mill that my daddy ran, he owned it. Moved it from field to field, sugarcane field to sugarcane field. He would set it up, and there the sugarcane would be cut and brought to the mill by horse and wagon. And he had a mule that I rode, the mule that pulled the rock that squeezed the juice out of the sugarcane and ran down into a vat. Now you would think this was probably 200 or 300 years ago. But they sent me this picture because they heard the sermon and me telling about this syrup mill. They sent me sent the almanac. But inside the almanac, printed in 1954, this sugar mill that my dad owned was still being used. 1954. I was 20 years old at that time. 1954. You can see how knowledge has increased, technology has increased, and of course brought us to where we are today, ready to blow ourselves off the face of the earth. But technical knowledge that can actually create machinery to pull things out and create things unnaturally, but they call it natural. But it's combine things unnaturally, and of course, this hurts the human body. Low-cal sweeteners feed, and here's the big thing. Did you read that 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy 6:10? The love for money is a root of all evil. The love for money. You may not think it's evil to replace salt until you start looking at the figures of people who wind up in hospitals because they did not eat salt. The same thing goes with sugar. Sugar is very healthy, and if you just look up the information on it, you'll see how healthy it is. You can't do without it. Your body can't do without it. And they tell you if you buy a hummingbird feeder, they'll tell you do not use artificial sweeteners. You'll starve the hummingbirds to death. They will literally die. They will eat it till they die. There's no nutrition in it. Well, here, low-calorie sweeteners feed a 1.5 billion industry. That's what they feed. A $1.5 billion industry. The global weight loss and diet industry. Well, of course, they tell you can lose weight. Have you ever seen anybody using that stuff that's slender? I never have. You know, you can learn by observation if you just take a little notice of the things around you. I used to say I wasn't going to eat cottage cheese because only fat people ate cottage cheese. But, of course, that's not what puts the fat on, and everyone here knows that. You know how to lose weight. Push yourself away from the table. Limit the food. But you can't keep gorging and stick some artificial sweetener in your mouth and lose weight. You know, this is stupid. It's ignorance. But they lead you to believe that like they lead you to believe that the cross is the tree of life. The Catholic Church, the sword is the tree of life. Well, the global weight loss and diet industry was estimated at more than $390 billion U.S. last year and is predicted to grow to more than $670 billion by 2015. You want to buy some stocks? Wow. that would make you a bunch of money. The one that's great on the market right now, let me see where I want to go here. There was another one. Oh, here it is. Here it is on this same article. The first one of these came out in 1879. 1879 is getting close to my birthday. It was invented by German researchers. It proved up to 500 times sweeter than natural sugar, and soon went into widespread commercial use. It fell from favor 40 years ago when studies linked it to bladder cancer. If you look up bladder cancer, I don't know if you could sleep tonight if you read what takes place after that in the hospitals. The next major advance in increase of knowledge of the schools of higher learning, the next major advance in the search for synthetic sweeteners came in 1937, 3 years after I was born. Well, you know, Satan wanted to get me one way or another, and I think Satan is smart enough to know what was going to take place there, or try to, with the discovery of cyclamates. Or cyclamates. Research, however, cyclamates too, subsequently raised concern when lab research indicated an elevated risk of bladder cancer in humans. Well, each one of these, of course, served for a time, and they made a lot of money, and they haven't given up.
$50 billion sugar industry under fire now as major food companies race to capture stevia, I guess that's the way you pronounce it, S-T-E-V-I-A, sweetener market share. Food and beverage giants from the schools of higher learning. Intellectual idiots. No, that's not what it says. food and beverage giants sprang to market with stevia sweetened products, Coke and Pepsi. Now, a lot of people are demanding that the soft drinks now be made with sugar. And some of the people are going back to it. Last year, Nielsen reported that sales in Cargill Trivia, that's a brand of stevia, shot up nearly 50%, displaying Sweet and Low to become America's number two in the 2 billion sugar substitute market. Demand for stevia has already skyrocketed. Analysts are projecting that within 2 to 3 years, the market share for stevia sweetener could soar to 25% of the $50 billion global market for sweeteners. Hundreds of newly branded products will hit the U.S. market alone, and not just from the big-name brands. Stevia is displacing artificial sweeteners projected to penetrate 20 to 25% of global sugar sweetener market. Companies producing artificial sweetener are now creating their own brands of stevia. Trivia now, Coca-Cola, I guess that's a Coca-Cola product, a 2-year-old natural stevia sweetener, so it comes from the same one but called something else, recently surpassed Sweet and Low to become the number two substitute in the U.S. market, whooping 62% of American consumers are now aware of stevia sweeteners. So they're advertising this greatly to replace sugar, not because it's healthier by any means, and they don't even know what it's going to do. They haven't even tested it out. But that's what drives the market. And of course, I remember one time when my aunt and uncle, they came from California to vacation and to see the family, see the rest of, when the drought and the dust storms drove people out of Oklahoma. My aunt and uncle was one of the families that went to California, as you saw in the film Grapes of Wrath. Anyway, I was born and raised in that time period, and my aunt and uncle went to California. They got rich. She got fat. She carried back some stuff called margarine with her. Or maybe she bought it there. I'd never seen it before. But we had butter, you know. We had the pure butter. Well, she didn't want to use that. She was telling mother, who was a slender woman, you know, we didn't have that trouble in Oklahoma. the fattest person in the neighborhood didn't weigh but about 150 pounds at that time. Anyway, this margarine, the butter replacer, which it's caused a lot of trouble and, of course, a lot of sickness, and a lot of things have been written against it. Butter, on the other hand, they started doing without it because of the calories, and they started doing without sugar now, a lot of people without sugar, because of the same reason. Well, these things are mentioned in the Scripture, so I uphold those things that are mentioned in the Scripture. And praise Yahweh. Butter is one of the healthiest things you can put in your body,
And if you replace it with margarine, you're going to be sorry. You would be in a few years. We don't have that many years left, so I don't think I have to worry about it. But I want you to know that Yahweh's way is the best. Now get this, the same man in the book called The Medical Lies, he says, how many calcium pills do you gag down every morning and evening, yet American women still have a 40% lifetime risk of fracture, bone fracture. Even if calcium works a little, it's not near enough. So they know that calcium helps, but I think in taking things out of the way and the other combination that Yahweh puts with it, Yahweh, as he said in the beginning, his way was perfect for man. Everything he did there was perfect. In the song of Moshe, we find the praise of butter and the curds of milk, which includes the whey and the cheese and the cottage cheese and everything that goes with it. Well, he says it's not enough. What are they doing in countries where women don't break their hips? I found the answer in a dusty, forgotten set of research files from the early 20s. And the solution turns out to be so powerful that it could wipe out osteoporosis in our country in a matter of months. Now, that's pretty spectacular, isn't it? Just a matter of months. What I found nearly 100 years ago, Dr. Weston Price became fascinated by the astonishing bone health of Canadian Eskimos, Australian Aborigines, and several African tribes. They generally didn't suffer spontaneous fractures or osteoporosis, even though their diets were widely different. Why? The answer, it's a nutrient that Dr. Price nicknamed Factor X. Every one of these ethnic groups consume great quantities, and it turns out to have a fantastic ability to help your bones absorb minerals. It by itself would not do this. But by eating it this way, he says, the richest source in our own diet may be old-fashioned butter. And, of course, he says butter is rich in this bone-building nutrient that could wipe out osteoporosis in just a matter of months. The bladder cancer, if you go to these things and you get bladder cancer, you know, you really need to read what they do to you in the hospitals when you get it. The panic, of course, right now is over money. And they're putting out fears and of what is going to take place. It says, senior European officials last night issued a grave warning that the very survival of the euro is at risk as the crisis in Spain threatens to tear the region apart. And they're saying this is going to reach into other things besides just money. Now, at the same time, we have a defense, a $1 trillion for defense spending in America. That doesn't look like that the economy is being affected much. I got this kind of out of proportion here. This one should have been read first. Margarine, particularly polyunsaturated margarine, has become a major part of the Western diet and overtook butter
in popularity in the mid-20s. In the United States, for example, in 1930, the average person ate over 18 pounds of butter. No osteoporosis that I know of, and that I never heard of it at that time period. But they ate about 18 pounds of butter a year and just over 2 pounds of margarine. By the end of the 20th century, though, an average American ate around 5 pounds of butter and 8 pounds of margarine. And, of course, the osteoporosis and the bone fractures have increased in that time period. Now, that's getting away from what Yahweh gave you and to the schools of higher learning that's using these things to satisfy their lust for money. Of course, they'll never be satisfied, but that's what they're put out there for. Not that they're concerned about your health. The U.S. panel advises against hormone therapy for healthy older women. Now, this is something else that they're trying to use that you never would have needed, the people never would have needed if they'd ate the things that Yahweh put out that he said was clean and healthy. CBS News, an advisory task force to the government, is recommending that postmenopausal women who are healthy do not use hormone replacement treatment to stave off chronic disease. While hormones like progesterone, well, I got close to it, I think, and estrogen may slightly decrease the likelihood of invasive breast cancer and hip fracture, the drugs were also shown to slightly increase a woman's likelihood of dementia and stroke. So, on the one hand, they're using this. See, they get you away from the things that would keep you healthy. Then they sell you a drug to try to correct this. It doesn't correct it, and of course the hospitals and the prisons. And notice they're threatening to arrest anyone they saw eating a body, eating another person. I thought, boy, that's really going to scare them. You know, person that crazy, and they're letting it be known they're going to arrest them. They better stop eating those people. Well, now keep in mind, all of this that I've just showed you, getting away from Yahweh's way, and of course the increase in these things that will bring America down. These are all things of Satan. They are things of Satan. Satan's job is to destroy mankind. And eventually, mankind, the earth, and the heavens that govern the earth. That's what she craves to do. Daniel said that in a certain time period where he actually saw two witnesses, you would see also at that time period knowledge increase. In that time period. Now, this next statement should increase your faith tremendously if you would just think about it. The Zeus, or Zeus, Z3, 1941, considered the world's first working, programmable, fully automatic computing machine. 1941. I was born in 1934. This machine that increases the knowledge of the world can also make margarine. It contains, you can put things in, it programs it, you can show what a substance will do, you can keep it in file, it gives everyone in the world a name and a number. This thing is powerful knowledge, the increase in knowledge. Now, we didn't have this
when I was born, but it was developed. The first one was developed and put into action in 1941. I was 7 years old at that time. Knowledge will increase. Knowledge will increase and show from that knowledge that will increase, the knowledge that will increase, you will bring forth bombs that will darken the sun and the moon and destroy the earth unless Yahweh stops it. Now, he gives you a time period. We didn't have computers when I was born. We didn't have any of this stuff that we have today. This is an antique mall that I showed you. That's the way we're living. If you would visit one of those antique malls, and I think some of our evangelist is going to start talking about these antique malls that they stopped to see, because this shows you what it was like in my lifetime. And I'm not yet 100 years old. All of this is developed in the last 100 years, including the cars you drive and so forth. Computer-operated cars now. Computer-operated. 1941, the first workable computer. Well, if you notice this week, the big problem is the computer virus. And, of course, the nuclear bombs could not have been invented. They couldn't be run. The planes couldn't fly. You couldn't drive your automobiles without the computers now. You could in my lifetime. You could in the first car that I owned was actually fired by what we called a magneto. And that was a positive running opposite to a negative. And it created a spark every time the two met. And that spark was sent to a spark plug, which fired which set the gasoline on fire and gave you energy to push that car down the road. It's a very simple operation, and that was the thing for years and years and years. Now it's quite different. It's all operated. Your brakes and everything is operated on by a computer. Well, new information about the computer viruses show how countries may be lining up to fight a cyber war. The virus that got the ITU attention, it's called FLAME, apparently targeted Iran, and Statnik also did. Suspicion immediately fell on the U.S. and Israel as the creators. Now, I wouldn't even be concerned about this, and I don't want to keep on reading all these articles, so I'll just tell you that this FLAME virus was discovered by experts last week in Iran, in the Iranian nuclear process. Now, those people are not stupid. They will overcome this virus, I'm sure, and go on with their nuclear wars, because nuclear bombs. But now, I thought, you know, this could be what would actually start the nuclear war. Because in reading about what this flamer virus does, when it got into the nuclear plant of Iran, where they were actually bringing about this nuclear energy that Yahweh himself created, but he created it in a fashion to where it was under control. Well, of course, mankind with his computers have been able to harness this energy to actually split the atom that Yahweh created and start a nuclear fusion that, under certain conditions, that could destroy a whole city. Now, this was all done with man's computers that started in 1941 and has grown to the computers that we have today. 1941, and this is 2012. Not many years. With those same computers now, they can guide, they can put this bomb on a missile that is guided by computers, and they can pinpoint that bomb, say, from China to New York. Well, what building do you want it to hit? That's where it will land. Now, that's how accurate these computers can guide that bomb. With the wind shifts, the wind changes, the temperature, the moistures, the rain, the clouds, whatever, it will guide that to its mark. It won't miss it. They now have these smart bombs that you noticed, if you noticed it in Israeli warfare. There would be a man, one of their enemies, sitting in his office doing his work, and a missile would come through his window, through the window, not the wall, but the window, and blow up in that inside that man's room. Now, this is how sophisticated the knowledge that Yahweh said would increase has become. Imagine Yahweh turning the heavens over to the world right now in the shape it's in with these minds, that the intellectual idiots that's in control, and they keep building more and more warfare. To me, this proves whether or not they are idiots in itself. Not only have they done this, they've done what I showed you here, but then they create other things like the chemical warfare, the biological warfare, and then they create drugs that they know will do certain things. You can test these things, and with the computer knowledge that we have now, we have computer knowledge that you can test a drug and know what it will do if you put this much of a certain substance versus if you put double that, and it keeps it all on record and it's at your fingertips. You have the same thing in your head, except there's never, even with the best computers we have today, it's not even 1/10,000th as much knowledge in that computer as it is in your subconscious mind. Now, if you think about what mankind has done with his electricity-pulled computers, and what you would be able to do if you had the use of your subconscious mind right now. Now, this is what Yahweh is going to turn over to you very, very soon. Those people who qualify as being the sons and daughters of Yahweh, which prove themselves, as Psalms 110 says, they will prove themselves righteous. They will go forth with you. Those people are going to be given the use of their subconscious minds. That's what's going to bring them up to where Yahshua is right now. And, of course, the standard that he set for us, as the great Kohan Michael was just pointing out, when we get to the point to where we're like him, and that's what you better be striving for, and quickly, govern your lives like Yahshua did his. Be like him. Be like he said to be. Don't be a bastard. Be a humble person to accept Yahweh, and surely everybody could see the harm that is coming to this world by the little bit of knowledge that Yahweh is giving. This is a very little knowledge. The knowledge that comes forth with these computers, it's gigantic, of course. It can do gigantic things. It can destroy the earth, and that's exactly what man is going to use it to do. To take over the earth, depopulate the earth, kill everybody but the ones we consider that are not our enemies. And then pretty soon we'll want to kill some more, and then some more. The character of the world right now, if they had the use of their subconscious mind, the world would already be gone. and the heavens that go with it. That's the thing. You know, when you get the use of your subconscious mind, you'll be able to control or destroy a planet. You can, or move it, whatever you want to do. And of course, what our frame of mind will be, we will do nothing that Yahweh does not want us to do. Remember Yahshua's words? I will not do anything unless the Father tells me to do it. That's what he said. It was written, I cannot. The words there are actually, I will not. And that was his determination. I will not do anything unless the Father who has sent me tells me to do it. If you take that same attitude, you'll make it. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you, brothers and sisters.